ToeJam and Earl Back in the Groove will mean a lot of things to different people. For those who played and fondly remember the 1991 Sega Genesis classic, it will be immediately recognizable. For newcomers to the series, or those who played the subsequent sequels, its impact may be limited. At face value, ToeJam and Earl Back in the Groove is a quirky, colorful, roguelike adventure game. It succeeds in capturing the look and feel of the original, without straying too far from the established formula. However, I'm not sure if the gameplay and systems hold up in today's market, where procedurally generated roguelikes are a dime a dozen.
Yo, Earl, take the wheel. I'm gonna go in the back and grab a drink. Hey, Luanda, you want something?
Attitude has always played a big role in the ToeJam and Earl series. The titular heroes are the embodiment of 90s urban culture. ToeJam wears a large chain around his neck and a backwards baseball cap, while Earl dons high tops and wraparound sunglasses. The soundtrack is full of funky, hip-hop beats set against a bizarre, often psychedelic backdrop. All these elements are here on full display and Back in the Groove. Even the random characters you encounter in the world, like an old man dressed in a carrot costume, appear and behave the same way they did in 1991. In fact, if you were to present ToeJam and Earl Back in the Groove as a high-definition remaster of the original game, you'd probably get away with it. Obviously, this aesthetic is going to ring true for many fans of the series. Human Nature's extremely successful Kickstarter campaign certainly proved that there are many out there who are nostalgic for this type of game. However, much of the game's satire and references probably won't hit for newcomers to the series. Certainly the game's visual style and especially the soundtrack are timeless, but much of it will lose its charm after a few runs. It's here where the gameplay and features must pick up the slack for a lack of nostalgia. Unfortunately, I don't think ToeJam and Earl Back in the Groove has the chops to stand up to other games in the genre. If you strip the game of its legacy and the impact of its humor, then what you're left with is another procedurally generated roguelike adventure game. At the start of each run, you choose from a handful of characters. There's of course ToeJam and Earl, who also have alternate variations, as well as their girlfriends Leticia and Luanda. Each character has starting stats. For instance, ToeJam can move fast, but is weak, while Earl is slow, but can take a beating. The story revolves around your spaceship crashing on a planet very similar to Earth, and your goal is to collect 10 pieces of your broken ship and escape the weird planet. Each run is broken up into several levels, and each one must be explored for ship parts, presents, and the exit, while avoiding the dangerous humans trying to stop you. Once all the ship parts are collected, the run is over. In some respects, a run plays out a lot like a dungeon crawler. When you arrive into a level, it will tell you whether there is a ship part there, which saves a lot of time, especially if you quickly find the elevator to the next level. As you explore, you will find humans of the good and bad variety. The bad ones will chase you around if you aggro them, and you can either run away or hide. If they catch you, they will do some damage, but also knock you back. This knockback is probably their most dangerous effect, as it can push you clear off the edge of the level and back down to the previous one. This can get pretty tedious on the later levels that are full of enemies. You can also hire friendly humans to protect you, like an opera singer whose voice will stun enemies. There are also a variety of mini-games you can take part in, like a Guitar Hero-style dance battle and a 2D endless runner.
Hyperfunk Zone.
Both of which reward you with money and or presents. Finally, there are a number of special environments you can encounter, like snowy levels with slippery ice and pitch black levels that you can barely see what's around you. So there is some variety, but it's not quite enough to fight off the feeling of repetition. One interesting aspect of the game is the present system. Like potions and items in other dungeon crawlers, the contents of most presents you pick up are unknown to you. You can open them up and see what they contain, thus using the item, whether it's good or bad, or you can pay the old man in the carrot costume that appears in every level to reveal each present. They often contain power-ups like high tops that make you run faster, tomatoes that you can throw at enemies, and even wings that let you soar above everything for a short time. The wings are particularly useful because they let you explore areas that may be cut off from the main section of the level. The presents are definitely the most interesting aspect of a run, because you never really know what wacky power-ups you'll get. Every time you collect a ship part, the game gives you a random prize. Sometimes it's money, which is useful for revealing presents and hiring protection. However, there's a random chance that it will give you a skill point, which you can use to upgrade one of your character's 6 skills, layering on a light RPG mechanic. While it's nice to be able to give your character a small health boost or expand their inventory, the effects aren't substantial. Combine that with the rarity of the upgrades, and the fact that they do not carry over from run to run, and it seems rather superfluous. On the other hand, getting extra cash, or even a rare present, is a much more impactful reward. In the end, it's hard to decide whether to recommend Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove, because it will mean very different things to different people. If you are looking for an almost perfect recreation of the original 1991 game, with a few minor tweaks and a shiny new coat of paint, then this will most certainly deliver. For myself, who remembers playing the original but lacks a strong feeling of nostalgia for it, I find it a little underwhelming. Especially when you consider that it's competing in a genre with games like Don't Starve, Spelunky, and even Dead Cells. It's not a bad game by any stretch, and is actually well made with a fairly high level of polish. However, its systems are old, it gets repetitive quickly, and there just isn't enough variety in the level encounters. So for those not bringing with them fond memories or really connecting with the game's vibes, they may find themselves away on vacation. We'll be right back.